I were to say, close your eyes and imagine God, what's the image that comes to mind? You know, in the Western world, oftentimes through art, God is depicted as an older bearded white guy. Michelangelo paints the creation of Adam on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, and you see this older guy with this brilliant beard flowing, and he's reaching out like this with his hand and providing this divine spark, right? Other art in the Western world depicts God, again, usually as an older white guy sitting on a throne in very royal garments or shirtless for some reason and totally ripped, like somehow God and Jesus like always do a ton of core work in heaven and they're just really fit, even for an older guy. And I think that these images are kind of unfortunate for a number of reasons. We have them for, we can understand why. I mean, Scripture talks about God as a father. Scripture talks about God as a king, and art is created in patriarchal societies, so God is always man in these paintings. But Scripture also describes a lot of different images for God. God is described as rocks and shields, kings and fortresses, mother hens and shepherds. God is masculine in the Bible, and God is feminine in the Bible. God is a mountain, a spirit, a God of many gods, an only God, a God in three persons. God is described as a woman in labor, a judge, a great warrior, and a wild dog. God is a burning bush and a quiet breeze. God is ever present and never quite there. And in some very obscure references from the Psalms, God is described as a garment, like clothing, a beekeeper, which I like that one, a loaf of bread, and a cypress tree. And I think that it's important that we hold all of these different metaphors with us when we look at our passages this morning. In our gospel, Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is. Jesus answers that the greatest commandment is essentially to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself, that these commandments seem to go together, and that all of the law and the prophets kind of are summed up in this statement. Now, the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, is not new to Jesus. The statement comes from the book of Deuteronomy, which was much older than Jesus. And the second half of that statement, to love your neighbor as yourself, is probably from the 1300s BC. So it's over 1,000 years old by the time Jesus picks it up. In a generation before Jesus, rabbis took both of these and smushed them together, and that's how we get this saying today. Our passage is about loving God, and that's what the theme is today, that the Matthew passage talks about it. And then also in Deuteronomy, when Moses is speaking, he's also saying, this is how you love God. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture, this Deuteronomy passage. And in the background of it is really quite wonderful. Deuteronomy is a really weird book. There are some really wonderful passages in it and some horrible ones as well, but it's a really long sermon. And the Hebrew people have come out of slavery in Egypt and then wandered in the desert for 40 years, and they stand at the edge of a river, the Jordan River, and they're ready to go into this land. They will have land for the first time because they've been wandering or they've been slaves previously in our stories. And Moses, their leader, is trying to set down some principles about what it's like to then live in the land. That the way they live in the land is going to be different than the way they lived wandering around or as slaves in Egypt. And Moses is also at the end of his life. he realizes that this will be his last time to address this community. And so he preaches for many chapters in Deuteronomy, many, many, many chapters. And he gets to this point where he has talked about all of the different things that these people could do to live in this land well. The people must learn to cancel the debts of the poor. They are to keep governments accountable and guard against excessive wealth. They are to limit punishment for crimes to protect human dignity. They are to restrict those who can be drafted into military service. They are to be hospitable to runaway slaves, and they are to pay their employees fairly. And they are also to leave part of the harvest behind for those who need it. And there's much more in this really long sermon from Moses. Some of it is really good. Some of it is really bad because it's the Bible. But it's all about life together. And what Moses is trying to do is that he wants to see his people live a good life. And to do that, he says, this is what loving God is. I wonder if we've made loving God too abstract sometimes. Often, maybe too often, we've pictured God as something out there, this cosmic being that looks like us but is otherwise completely other than us. And we are taught that we are supposed to have some sort of relationship with this being, that we are supposed to love it or him or her or they. And this love, is it an emotion? Are we to have warm feelings when we consider God? The same feelings that we have toward other human beings, or perhaps your favorite mountain, or a puppy? And I think this is what some forms of faith have become. And perhaps some like it, in part because it requires very little work. But to me, it seems like a boring faith, a faith that's sappy and a little ungrounded. Rather, it seems to me that whenever the idea of loving God is approached in our scriptures, it is defined by how we take care of one another and how we live with other human beings and how we are connected to the land. This is a principled life, one that must work for good. And so through the centuries, we have laws passed down and churches built and movements made to go about this work. Because violence is real, and so is hardship and poverty and loss and pain. And in this world, there is oppression and coercion and corruption and greed. But there is also good. And there is hope, and there is faith. And there are higher things to consider and better ways of being. There are virtues like integrity and honor and courage and civility. And there are principles like selflessness and contentment and service and charity. And these virtues and these principles challenge us in our way of being. And perhaps when we are challenged, when we are forced to consider what is good, not only for ourselves, but for everyone and everything we are in relationship to, perhaps then we are encountering the fringes of God. And for me, this feels a little bit more like love. The possibility of something new, something good, something lasting. May you consider what is good this week. May you consider how you live toward one another, your spouses, your partners, your children, your parents, your neighbors, your coworkers, your farmers, your store clerks. For in loving others, we are loving God. Amen.